Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and still can't sell a book. Jenna Jameson, who
can't sell books,
dropped out of high school, is number two on the New York Times bestseller list. And, well, that's where, actually, that was on Amazon. She's number nine on the New York Times bestseller list. Name of the book, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, Cautionary Tale. Jenna, always good to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
Jenna and I go way back.
Yes.
We have a special relationship. Mm-hmm. Drew has a special relationship with Jenna as well. We all have our special relationship with Jenna. But Jenna, I feel in some way responsible for putting her on.
For success.
And I'm not saying I'm solely responsible for Jenna's success. But yeah, I more had a hand on it, as I recall. But yeah, I don't want all the credit. I just want like 65% to 75% of the credit. Is what I'm saying. Because
she came back.
It was.
You know what I mean? People that have huge success tend not to come back and visit
shows
like this. Well,
because she owes me. Because when I must have been, I'd been in radio about 6 to 8 months. Yeah. Jenna Jameson was just getting into the business. If I'm right, it must have been about almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And she was this sort of hot up and coming, but not, you know, who knew who she was 10 years ago. And someone said, you want to put her on Kevin and Bean, the morning show out here at the flagship K-Rock. And we decided, well, it'd be good to have her on if Mr. Burcham, my alter ego, would do something with her. Yes. So that's when I fired up the pad sander and I put the velvet on it.
I remember.
You remember that?
I remember.
Yeah. Those were
vividly.
There were more innocent times, Drew. They really were.
If you call that innocent.
Yeah, I was just a kid in his 30s. I didn't know any better. So Jenna, and then of course, Jenna Mania started shortly thereafter. And Jenna also came in here about,
five years ago,
which we couldn't believe.
I was even talking to some of the Spluzers out there, and they were saying 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, people, and for those who don't know what the Spluzer is, it's part spaz, all loser. These are the guys who hang out in the parking lot, and anybody who comes in with a rack on them signs their whatever, and then it goes right on the internet. And they're always like, oh, this is for me. But if it was for you, first off, you live at home. You live at your mom's house.
She also knows them by name.
I know.
She's seen them everywhere she goes.
And secondly, Fred.
Yeah, your mom would not tolerate a mountain-sized stack of porn in her house. And who are you kidding? You're living at home. The stuff's going right on the internet. And by the way, this ain't you're not an entrepreneur. Don't call yourself an entrepreneur. Here's my thing. You got to make at least 110 grand a year to call yourself an entrepreneur. Other than that, you're out of work, and you got a plan. That's what we should call it. But anyway,
I agree.
Jenna, speaking of entrepreneurial spirit, Jenna has managed to parlay her sexual exploits into quite a fine career. And what is that, your own sort of street smarts, or did you get hooked up with the right people early, or both?
Well, I think it's both. I from the time I got into the industry, I said that I was going to be the number one girl. I didn't know whether or not that was going to happen.
Right.
But I, you know, put my nose to the grindstone, so to speak.
But is there somebody that sort of got behind you? And
well, yeah, absolutely.
Peter North.
I don't mean
that's evil.
All right. Good. Come on, Jeremy. All right.
Well, Wicked Pictures. I worked with them for a very long time. And, you know, Joy King was amazing. They pushed me really hard. And with my hard work and their wherewithal, we made it.
And it was probably a good time to break into porn because in the past, it was just sort of this mill that ground people up and spat them back out onto the street. And nobody had contracts. Nobody had a say. The chicks probably get $175, $500 a pop, and then the next one would come along.
So this was the time when they could make a star.
Yeah, I think, mm-hmm. I think Jenna got herself involved and got in, you know, wet her beak, so to speak, that with each product sold, she got a little taste. Yeah. I mean, everything has a sexual connotation to it. The beak wedding, the tasting, the nose to the grindstone. It's all sex. So Jenna, and then you split from Wicked.
Right.
How long ago was that?
That was probably about 4 years ago.
And you began your own, well, you always had your own sort of internet thing going and that sort of thing, right?
Once I split from Wicked, that was partially one of the reasons, because I thought it was important to be really involved in my website. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really allowed that luxury over at Wicked. So I decided to start my website myself and parlayed it into something really big, and then ended up starting my production company, and it worked out really well.
What, by the way, you know, if you could get Drew to do a movie, what would that be worth? Do you know what I mean? Like
me in a porno?
Yeah. I mean, if you were to say...
A how-to.
If you were to say, well, let's just say Dr. Drew. You thought you knew Dr. Drew. you know what I mean? The man behind the stethoscope, a passionate man. And you just go, look, we gave Drew $500,000. Yeah, he talked it over with his wife, and he did a movie. Would you make your money back? Like, what do you think?
Absolutely, I'd make my money back. Yeah.
You think you would?
The offer stands.
All right. Talk to your wife. And speaking of Drew's wife, by the way.
Show me the money.
Yeah, right?
Really?
Let me explain what happened last time Jenna was on the show, because, Drew, I think it's important.
Okay.
I think it's important that we broach this subject, and it can be painful, but Jenna has, you know, opened herself up.
In her book,
which is quite substantial. I mean,
600 pages.
600 pages.
Wow.
And Drew looked at it. Drew gave it his seal of approval. Mm-hmm. Yes, Drew?
Absolutely.
Last time Jenna was on the show, first off, Drew has a type, and Jenna's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna's everyone's type, but then you have your type within your type. Everyone loves a beautiful woman, but within the beautiful women, some guys like the auburn-haired ones, some guys like the long, gangly ones. You know, even though everyone's attractive, this is right in Drew's wheelhouse. Jenna is, and Jenna and Drew, being a man of passion but also a man of medicine, spoke to Jenna. And Jenna was going through some difficulties in her life last time she was on the show.
Mm-hmm. About in the book.
She was opening up and confiding in Dr. Drew. Drew opened up his fly to her. No. Drew opened up to her. Drew did what he would do with any right. person. He's a passionate yet compassionate man.
Thank you.
And Jenna, I think you were touched.
He totally touched.
Where'd he touch you?
Come on now.
No, Jenna was touched that Drew, well, he didn't judge. He was
sweet to me.
He focused on his Hippocratic oath, and he extended his hand to Jenna, who was down at the time. Mm-hmm. And Jenna, I think, repaid him and felt like she owed him a debt of gratitude and sent him some flowers. And Drew, now, did your wife find the flowers, or did you just have to give them to me, and then I had to give them to my girlfriend?
It was the latter.
Oh, yeah. Drew could not bring the flowers home. I said, are you kidding me? And then Drew's wife still found out about it and still got mad. Is that true, Drew?
She's fine now. She's fine.
All right. She's fine. Five years later, she's just gotten over it.
Because I was like trying to hit on you. I was doing it because I was thanking you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sending them. Everything's fine.
We know what the intentions of the flowers were. And my thing with Drew is you got to yank the chain a little on the old lady. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think she wants it.
No, she's fine.
She's fine now.
Yeah.
It took her 3.5 years to get over Jenna sending you some flowers.
Oh, my gosh.
No, she's fine.
All right.
She didn't come in tonight. She's here. She's fine.
All right.
She understands.
All right.
Next time, I'll just give you a phone call.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're busted now.
No. No. Send over some ice skates for his daughter.
Oh.
She would go for that.
Okay.
All right. So Jenna is going to be, where's she going to be? Tomorrow. At the Book Soup. On Sunset Boulevard. That is 8818 Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood at 7 o'clock. So she
7
will,
p.m.
She will be, not in the a.m. No, that's one good thing about
early.
The life. Yeah. And what is a normal day for you like? And
not when you're on a book tour.
And where's the money? Is it in personal appearances? Is it actually in owning?
Well, it's
part
in
of
producing movies.
Producing movies.
Absolutely.
Not that your web business doesn't.
Well, you know what? It's kind of, they're both right up there. the internet is so lucrative. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Mm-hmm. So I never really realized that when I started producing my own movies, how much money these movie studios were making.
As compared to what they paid the performer.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. So,
and I'm glad that you don't use the Lord's name in vain, by the way.
I don't.
A lot, oh, my gosh.
I don't.
We've never heard that from a guest.
That's scary.
So a movie, what does an average movie cost, you know, from the time that you sit down and write all 8 pages of the script to
do you do movies yourself or in, or do you do just all kinds?
Well, I do all kinds. The larger percentage of the movies that I've been producing so far, I have starred in. But I'm starting to kind of step away from being in front of the camera. So, you know, to answer your question, they're anywhere from $25,000 to $250,000. It depends on what you're trying to achieve.
Right. And
if you spend more, do they tend to be distributed more or make more? Or?
Well, not really. It doesn't really matter. If there's a big star's name on the movie, it doesn't matter if it costs you $10. It's going to sell the same. But I pride myself on making really good product, so I try to put as much money in as possible.
And where is, like, when you, the average porn movie, adult movie, I should call it, where's the money made when it's sold? Is it just actual DVDs going out the door? Is it like the Spectravision deals or pay-per-view stuff or like or Playboy TV? Like, is it's all getting, where's the bulk of the money coming?
Most of it is in the sales of the actual movie.
Really?
The cable sales, yeah. It's a smaller percentage.
Because it seems to me, Drew, quiet down.
I'm just thinking, I saw you in Times Square on a huge billboard. Is that a movie?
I actually own the billboard, so I can put up different pictures for each thing that I want to promote.
How about a shot of me and Drew?
Okay.
Know, I'm not talking about all year, but just for like 6 months.
6 hours.
For 6 minutes.
Between the, yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you own the billboard? You mean you have it for an allotted period of time?
Exactly.
It's a huge billboard on Broadway.
I know. I've seen it. I actually masturbated to it. Oh. It was a light traffic day.
Did you masturbate to the Panasonic graphics?
Oh, please.
It's a scary visual.
Like I said, it was a Sunday. It was a light traffic day. It was starting to get dark.
You're bored.
Yeah. It wasn't like there were a couple guys in line
waiting
to see a show.
Did you hear that happen today at Scott Pearson's trial?
What happened?
Some guy started self-stimulating in the middle of the courtroom.
Really?
Ew.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Crazy? Jenna. Ooh. I mean, ew.
What is this world coming to?
Oh, very sad. Man cannot even beat off at a murder trial without the judgment of prying eyes. Is this what you're saying? Because I agree. I think I know where you're heading with this. Where's this world coming to, Drew, when we have to pass judgment?
Where you can't masturbate when you want
it. You can't masturbate in a public building. Please. All right. There should be like a Bible masturbation radius that he was within.
But that seemed like that was a cinematic release that the film was being promoted in Times Square, no?
Yeah, I think the one that you're speaking about was a movie that I did called The Masseuse.
Now, look, I kind of confused
right,
it with...
Wait, get just, on
I,
the internet.
I kind of confused it with your book, because it looked like it was an advertisement for that, but then it sort of seemed like it was also a film. Is there a film?
Not yet.
Okay.
Is there... Oh, yeah. Maybe. Oh, well, that's the other thing. Now I heard you a little bit on Stern talking about it. I mean, it's a tell-all. It gets into your life, your past, your upbringing, all that stuff. But also guys you've been with, a-hole celebrities. Oh, thank Christ I never did anything stupid.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, not that you would have gone for it, but you know what I mean? Some of them are just pathetic. Most of them just sound bad. Like,
yeah.
Adam started crying and begged me for handy. He said it would be cool, and he said no one would find out. Then he cried some more, and then he told me he was a nipple freak, and he wanted you to touch his nipples and put lipstick on them. You know, like some of the stuff, it just gets a little weird. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if
thank
you
God
said
I only worked
Jenna,
her over with a pad sander.
If you said that to her, not me, like you usually do, it'd be a little...
Yeah. Well, listen, I have sensitive nipples. Yeah, I'm a nipple man. I like a little nipple stimulation. I don't think that makes me a bad guy.
No, it doesn't.
Jenna,
but
do you think
make
that
you
makes
vomit
me...
when he says
no,
that?
No, I think it's great.
I have sensitive nipples.
It makes me
nipples,
laugh, but I think it's great.
Well, I don't know what's funny about it. Just as God made me. All right.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Jenna Jameson in studio tonight. We'll take a question for Jenna. Again, down at Book Soup there. What's that? Did I say that? Tomorrow. Yeah. 7 o'clock. 7 p.m.
Los Angeles for the rest of you.
That's right. Nicole?
Yeah?
23?
Yes.
What's up?
I just wanted to ask Jenna what the craziest thing she thinks she's ever done is.
Oh, man. I've done some crazy things.
That's what I figured.
Just out of control. There are a few times in my life where I've looked back and I'm like, I'm surprised I'm still alive.
Dangerous behavior?
Of course. I mean, when I lived in Las Vegas, when I was about, I ran the streets. My father wasn't very attentive. And
your mom died at a very young age.
Yes. So I was kind of left on my own.
But that was sort of the core trauma for you, wasn't it?
I think so. Mm. I think so.
Mom passing away.
Yeah. Even though I wasn't able to deal with it because it happened when I was so young, it certainly affected. Yeah.
How old were you?
I was two.
Wow.
I was two. So, you know, I grew up, you know, kind of on my own, very independent. And, you know, when I was about 15, 16 years old, I used to, like, run around the streets of Las Vegas.
Wow.
Unsupervised and jump into strangers' cars on the Las Vegas Strip.
Wow.
And just kind of cruise the Strip with these strangers, with a couple of my girlfriends. And I look back on that and I'm like, yeah. I could have been really hurt.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Vegas is, as soon as you get off the Strip, you're just in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
It's essentially just a graveyard for mafiosa types and strippers that talk too much. Yes, Drew?
Was your dad a policeman in Las Vegas?
Yes, he was.
Wow. And yeah. And so...
Oh, I remember going to, like, house parties and, you know, when I was 15, 16 years old and... everybody be screaming, oh, the cops are coming, the cops are coming. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's my dad, you know, and I'm like vaulting over the back wall, you know, trying to get away because I knew my dad would be there. So
right. Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
That's like a 1-2 punch. That is the cops and
your dad.
And your
yeah.
dad. I don't
call your dad. Your dad's.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse. It's a compound. I don't know. The kids of cops always seem to run just a little bit wild.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that before, Drew, and I'm sure it's a whole host of reasons, but one of it is I do believe most cops have a sort of wild streak in them that could have sent them on the other side of the law had they not buckled down and
Very
chose
true.
To get on the right side of the badge. They're definitely thrill seekers. I mean, you just don't find quiet bookworm types who decide they want to, you know, carry a piece and wrestle guys in the back of a squad car, and it's that same energy that can sort of take you in another direction. Sometimes their kids have that same energy and don't choose to go the same law enforcement direction.
That's for sure.
So was he... Now, when did you get out of Vegas?
I left Vegas when I was about 18 years old.
18. And Jimmy Kimmel grew up in Vegas. You're running to Kimmel over there? Because he used to say he got all the ladies.
I haven't.
And it was funny because I see pictures of him in high school playing the clarinet with the funny part in the
oh,
hair
gosh.
And the thick glasses. And I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. All of them? All the time. Really? Because you're just all knees and elbows. No. All the ladies. So I'm surprised. Wow.
No, I wasn't one of them.
Dodged a bullet. Be another notch in Kimmel's nightstand.
I'm much too young.
Oh, that's what.
That's right. That's true. That's true.
All right. So, speaking of age, when do you hang up the diaphragm?
Wow, that's a good question.
It's powerful. That's why I get the big
the
bucks.
Diaphragm.
Oh, well, I just I don't know what you do. Is
do
it?
People still use diaphragms?
I do.
The Nuva ring.
You do.
I use the Nuva ring. Jimmy likes it.
I think nowadays women become, you know, more and more beautiful as they get older. So
that's right.
So I don't think that it's a matter of age. I think that it's a matter of how you've grown as a person.
But isn't adult film star sort of like boxer or other sports or things that's like. It when you start getting older, you lose that energy. Like, you just don't want to beat guys up. You just don't want to F in front of a camera. You know, you don't want to thrill seek. Really?
No, not yet. I think it's because I've kept my movies to a minimum. I only do about one or two a year. So
I would think, though, a line in the sand that some people might sort of point to as where they want to stop is when they have kids.
Absolutely.
That's something in the future for you?
That's my line in the sand.
So that's when you're going to stop.
Absolutely.
That's when she's hanging it up.
That's what my mom said,
and
Drew.
I know. But fortunately, she didn't stop.
So. No, she's still working. She's 71.
Things would have been a lot better for you.
It ain't pretty.
With her locking herself in the bathroom and screaming, freak out.
I
beg your pardon.
Smoking weed, yeah. Yes, we all have our crosses to bear, Jenna. Perhaps I should write
it. Is that something near future?
Yeah, I'm hoping. You know, I got married last year, and I have a wonderful husband. And it's something that I've looked forward to for quite a while. So I'm hoping that soon.
And if you're only doing a movie or so a year, do you get to handpick your co-stars?
Well, I only work with my husband.
Oh, that's it now?
Yeah.
Oh, so I've probably seen his penis.
Ew.
Is he over there? Is he behind you now?
Uh-huh. No.
Oh, okay.
He's been behind me quite
often. Yeah. All right. But that's, now see, there's one of those things where you know you've arrived. You got to be hot to only work with one dude, like your boyfriend, or, you know, call the shots.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you're skanky.
Well, not
like,
just hot. You kind of have to upset
power.
Yourself.
Yeah. Hot helps, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have some juice. Because otherwise, it's like, look, I only work with one guy. Oh, yeah? Well, there's a Hungarian soccer team. Now get down there. Or you don't get your $80. But if you're Jenna, you're like, nah, I just work with my husband. And he wears a condom on his head like Howie Mandel. And those are the rules. Take it or leave it. All right.
He does. That's funny.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Jenna Jameson is here tonight. The name of the book is How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, Cautionary Tale, a substantial piece of literature that Drew can't bring home. We will take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna Jameson in the studio tonight. Dear, dear friend.
Yeah.
Jenna Jameson.
Ow!
The book is called How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. It is number 9 on the New York Times bestseller list. And it is a substantial piece of work. Almost 600 pages.
I
or
like
maybe
that.
600.
Substantial.
It is. It's substantial is a good word because it suggests that it's a powerful book and you could hurt somebody if you hit them with it.
It's like a brick.
Yeah, it is. It's a block of book. Drew.
I have a question. The guy that helped you write this.
Yeah, Neil Strauss.
Says he wrote one of the best-selling adult films of all time.
Yes, he did.
Which one?
Bella Loves Jenna.
Wow. True?
Bella is an amazing writer.
I thought you were going to say Taboo or something, and Adam would just go out of his mind.
Which is one of the best-selling
yes,
of the year.
Yeah, and who knew that Bela Lugosi would make a movie that late in his career?
No,
he was in his late 80s when he shot the film.
He didn't go there. You know. No.
Bella. I don't know if I've seen Bella Loves
Jenna.
Bella
Donna?
Yeah. Bella Donna loves Jenna.
That's hot.
What year did that come out?
This year.
And it's one of the best-selling ones of all time?
Of all time.
Wow. I didn't know that could... I don't know why.
That fast, yeah.
Yeah, I thought these things had to accumulate over the course of, you know, 40 years or something.
Well, before.
Is DVD...
Times have changed. Everybody buys them now.
Yeah, so DVD... Well, yeah, people used to rent them. And by the way, you know, it's you know how we were look back on guys sitting in a theater, sitting in a pussycat theater, and, like, imagine one day when I'm going to have to explain to your kids that, yes... Hundreds of men would gather in one theater and all watch communally three, four films in a row. They're going to be like, Uncle Adam, I don't understand. Did they have the... No. Oh, no. There was no internet, my friend.
How's that
we
possible?
Would have to lock arms. At least that's the way your Uncle Adam did it. And we would all sit in a crowded theater and not watch one, you know, 60-minute film. We'd watch like 9. I mean, you sit there for about 7 hours.
I don't think you're supposed to lock arms, though, Adam.
It's just the way I did it.
That's the way we... That's the way the Corollas did it, and we'll continue to do it. Because we're rich with tradition. But, okay, so the point is, so then you go from that, so that sounds bizarre now. Like, telling, well, wait, you're sitting with a bunch of dudes. What are you supposed to do? Well, you log it all, you get about 9 hours in your brain, and then you hustle home, and you beat yourself to a pulp, you know? And it's like, okay, but now we were talking about this when people were renting porn, and the idea of renting porn sounds bizarre.
How about, hey, kids, you remember that
that television star Pee Wee Herman used to like when you were a kid? Well, he went to one of
we
these.
We locked
theaters.
Arms.
Exactly.
Yeah. How weird that's going to be for
he
me.
Was on my right side. And so... So now
he didn't wait till he went home.
They don't really rent movies anymore, do they? Do,
no, not
do people
really.
Rent movies.
Everybody buys them
because I mean, you could literally go to a truck stop and get one for $6.
You know why I think that is? Is because I think more and more women are comfortable seeing porn.
Ooh, we don't have to hide it.
Yeah, so guys don't have to hide it any longer.
And who the hell wants to, you know, if you think about, all right, the movie costs $3-4 to rent, but getting in your car, trucking it down to the thing, getting the humiliation
right.
running as someone you went to high school with. I rented a movie called Porn Bloopers once because it's like, well, I like to beat off and I got a sense of humor. This is like, this is tailor-made for me. You know what I mean? These were my two things, right?
Oh,
this is my two things.
Adam Carolla story.
And
Porn Bloopers.
I rented Porn Bloopers, which was a just disaster. And I was returning it, except when I realized, oh, I have no cash. So I had to go out the car and fish through the change, you know, the ashtray thing, and get like $4 worth of quarters and nickels.
Yeah.
And then the person behind the counter, someone I went to high school with,
oh,
a chick.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy's returning Bobby Hollander's Porn Bloopers, and he's paying in nickels.
Oh.
His fault
that's pretty
times.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Boy, captain of the football team last time I saw you, what happened? Sad. Normally, she would be embarrassed because she's working at a video
right.
store. But
yeah.
no, not
yeah.
when not when the guy returns porn bloopers.
Yeah. They're all nickels.
Yeah. You got any blooper reels, Jenna?
Well, that's the cool thing about DVDs nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
You get all the extras. So there's always a bloopers reel.
Yeah. I know because I got Jenna's movie. What's the Firehouse movie?
Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Very I can't seductive. Believe I can remember these things.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's got behind the scenes. Got the director narrates a little picture of the craft service table. It's all there. It's all there. And let me say this too about porn on the DVD format. You know where you're going. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you're fast-forwarding. You can either scan through it, but it goes too slow, so you stop it and you go forward, but then you think you missed something, so you stop and go back. Yeah,
well, the
DVD's
cool thing about my
go.
Movies now, I put a fetish menu, so you can pick out what you like the very best about porn, and it jumps to those exact scenes.
Really? You mean in the DVD?
So you're nipple-licking? Boom.
Yeah. But that's my own nipple, so.
Well, you can
She's
fantasize.
Working on that. She's working on that.
Okay.
Yeah, sooner or later I'll be able to
I don't
do
want
that.
To be confused with me giving pleasure to others.
Porn
That's
4D.
Not what it's about. Drew, explain to Jenna that nobody receives oral like me.
Oh, would you like to see this? You may be giving up some secrets that could show up in a film.
Exactly.
Well, what I want to say to Jenna is a lot of people talk about their prowess satisfying others. A lot of guys brag that they can bring a woman to climax or give her great oral sex
but
or whatever.
Corolla.
Not me. But I'll tell you what I do better than any guy in North America is I receive oral better. Do you know what I'm saying? And to me... I'll tell you what.
Because, Adam, don't you're going too far. Don't you better. Like,
well, no, I don't want to get defensive about it. But what I'm saying
is, are you going to show her?
I will. Yeah.
I want to see.
Are you sure?
Later.
I will.
Later. All right. But the point is a lot of guys. It's like you watch the Olympic sports. Everyone wants to win in the swimming and the track and field things. But the smart guy's over collecting his medals in archery and ping pong and stuff. He goes where there's not much competition. You don't have to take on any brother that can squat 800 pounds. Just a couple of nerds, and you take home the gold, and you got a gold medal. That's what I did with receiving oral.
That's nice.
I'm not even getting the line of the guys who claim they can go all night and bring a woman to the height of climax. I receive better than anybody. And there's nobody who can take my who can make lay claim to my throne, Drew. Do you understand?
I'm here to tell you.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you just a little sample of what I'm like.
Okay, bring it on.
This is part of my technique. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You need to do it?
Yeah. Keep going. And that's it.
That's good.
No beating about the head with the knuckles. No resting the beer on the crown of the
that
head.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I'll give you one more shot.
No, no, no.
And I'm not rude.
Come on.
And I've refined my techniques over the years, too.
Enough.
I learned, for instance, put down the TiVo remote. That's something I learned. Just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I mean, the point is I can always improve.
You're bragging now. You're bragging. Come on.
All right. I'm just getting
intimidated.
I'm saying, take the pants all the way off. These are other. If you're going to take. You can't take the pants off unless you take the shoes off. These are all things. Always, I've honed my technique. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no matter how good you are, you can improve. That's what I'm saying.
I agree completely.
And what you saw there, you thought was the pinnacle of receiving oral. But I'm still looking to move forward like any champion. You know what I mean? I don't look at my rear view. I don't look at my oral rear. I look through my oral windshield. You know what? Okay, there you go. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, well, there's... I would like to work with kids. Handicapped kids who don't... You know, the confidence that comes from receiving proper oral. You know what I mean? Properly receiving oral, should say.
Here we go.
Get in and start talking. And you got to get them early, too. You approach a guy 18, 19 years old, try to teach. No, it's like gymnastics. You get them at 5, 6, 7 years old. Really start working on the fundamentals. You don't do oral on them at that point. But again, start working on the posture. Start to develop those
what
muscles.
It's for.
just
right.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 28? What's happening?
Well, my question is, I am 28, and I've never had an orgasm, and I just want to know how abnormal that is, I guess, and if there's anything I can do.
What do you think, Jenna?
Well, I don't think it's abnormal. I think that a lot of women, they aren't able to relax enough. They worry too much about other things that are happening, like whether or not they look fat, whether or not their man is truly in love with them, or there are a lot of different things that go through women's minds, and it's hard to relax enough to be able to get to that point where you orgasm. I've been through it, believe it or not, and it's all a matter of feeling comfortable and letting go.
And you do women get up in their own head a little too much and get in their own way, beside whatever biological wiring that is different in some women from woman to woman. But I do agree with Jenna that even the ones where the potential's there for an orgasm, they get up in their head sometimes.
Does the letting go is it a frightening experience to some women, you think?
Yeah, it's
a vulnerability.
It's a trust thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But what about now, that's interpersonal, that's with another person. What about if she's by herself?
Well, that's how it should begin. You should make sure that you practice. That always helps.
We have a lot of women that call here. Can't quite get in that place where those things happen to them.
Right. Well, it's put into our heads that masturbation is so wrong.
I'm not sure of that.
It really is.
Because you can't force a guy to stop, no matter how much you try to tell him it's bad.
Well, that's a guy, but
well,
girls,
that's a man. Women are totally different.
Totally different.
Totally different.
What do you think she's talking about?
Well, no, but she's saying that the reason they're different. I want to clarify. It's not they're different because they were told not to do it, or it's something's wrong with them.
No, we believe that. I mean, you know, I mean, from the time I was young, I certainly worried about whether what I was doing was right. You know, but you know, I got past that. But I certainly did. But, it's kind of a hard thing, you know. I know that once I got to the point where I trusted a man enough to be able to, not worry about whether my face looked stupid when I was orgasming, then it was fine. Then it came easy to me.
Hey, even with masturbation, it's not uncommon to not be able to have one?
It's very common. It's much more common with masturbation than with a person. And at your
what's
age,
much more common
to have trouble orgasming.
Oh, really?
Masturbation. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It is common at my age.
For women, yeah. But at 28, you should be getting around to it.
Yeah.
It should be about time that things.
Got to get the right toy.
Yeah. You got a vibrator?
I do. But I was wondering now, do I need to try different ones? I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shop around.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. What's the difference between them?
Well, every girl's different with what they like. Some like very minimal stimulation, some like very heavy stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So there are toys that run the gamut.
I have Ron Jeremy's penis in my attic.
He does.
Yeah.
Ron brought in his a latex version of himself.
I didn't really bring it in. I told him to go get it.
It was in the trunk of his car. Yeah.
And at first, when he said it was in the trunk, I thought, oh, Christ, this is going to get nasty when he pulls this thing out. And then I realized, oh, it's actually on the car. I thought that was just more porn talk.
Right.
But he went and got it. But
then when your Guatemalan maid found it, come on.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was traumatic.
I don't have no... She's probably writing a book right now.
Oh, yeah.
You ought to talk to my maid.
Oh, well, your maid... Your maid could commit suicide. You got to pay for, like, therapy for your maid.
Exactly.
My maid found this this behemoth of a dork that was sitting around my house and probably thought, God knows what he does with this thing. I'm sure it had zero context other than the up the tokai. There's only one place that thing could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very scary. And my whole thing is I should throw it away, but it probably cost $65.
Oh my God!
Like what? I can't throw it away. It's something. Do you guys get into that?
You don't use it really truthfully.
I might use it to ward off like someone's trying to break into the house or something. I mean, it's a weapon, yeah. But no, I don't. I once in a while, I'll dab a little Nivea on it and touch it just a little bit on my nipple. Yeah, just a little bit. A little bit. Come on, Drew. I have sensitive nipples. But that's unrare. I mean, that's like 3 nights a week.
When you're feeling real freaky.
Yeah, I got to feel. And it's important for me to feel sexy, and that's why I wear sexy underpants. And it's not for my lady. You know, I do it for me.
You know what I'm saying.
I like to feel good. I don't care what other people think. I need to feel sexy.
We'll be right back.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. The Jenna Jameson in tonight. Name of the book, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. It is out as we speak. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Buddy, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The Black Eyed Peas in here tomorrow night. Jenna Jameson in here tonight. Always good to see Jenna. And we're kindred spirits because we met. I think neither one of us was officially in show business.
And I like my nipples played with too.
See that?
That's proof positive.
Yep. That's right. Separated at birth. Both have sense. We're sensitive people with sensitive nipples. Drew is a man of passion, although has no feeling in his nipples.
Strangely enough.
Oh, come on.
Well, no. Drew fell asleep on an airplane once, and I held a Bic lighter underneath his nipple. Thank God he was wearing his nursing bra. I was able to just carefully peel the Velcro patch back, exposing the nipple. And had it not been for the smell of the burnt hair, I don't think you would have woken up, Drew.
No, of course not.
Nursing bra.
Yeah, when he travels. Old habits die hard. We travel together. I insist.
He convinced me to insist I wear it. He thought I would be of a similar proclivity to him, and so he wears his, I wear mine.
It's also the kind of thing where I bought it for him, I think, for like Christmas, and it's like, you know, when your grandmother gets you a sweater, and then she's coming over for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
Plus, he's so abusive. You gotta, yeah, I gotta just sort of tease him, I do it.
Yeah, so we travel, and Drew wears the nursing bra.
You've got to be more empathic with other people. Not everyone experiences things exactly the same way you do.
All right. I'm just saying, Drew's nipples are not even hooked up.
Yeah, but still.
There's nothing attached to them. They're really just coasters that are just stuck onto your chest. Really, I mean it.
Does that make me a lesser person?
In my book, how dare
you?
Jenna, bite his nipple and prove once and for all to his wife, to everyone else who's listening. All right. But you know why Drew's not a nipple man? Because Drew is a bread and butter man. He's a meat
what's
potato
that? What's,
man.
Well, what's I'll tell you bread what. Bread and butter, meat and potatoes.
He goes right for the main course sexually.
Okay.
He doesn't like, you know, conversation and a nice starter salad
You guys know a lot about each other.
Drew's passionate.
Wow.
That I know.
Wow.
Yeah. And you don't want to be on the be on the losing end of his passion. You get on the business end of his passion. That's trouble. All right?
Keep that in mind.
Word of the wise is sufficient.
Germany or Florida?
It's time to play Germany or Florida. Here's how it goes. All bizarre stories emanate from either Germany or Florida. I think we've got about six in a row.
Florida. Didn't you have a few years in Florida?
Yeah, for a few years I lived in Florida.
And Florida's become a bizarre place.
Very.
Yeah. And Germany has always quietly and efficiently been bizarre as well. And let's round up all the Jews and put them in an oven. Maybe that should have been a little heads up that they don't do things exactly how we do them over there.
Right.
I don't know why, but we're all over that. All right, they're back on their feet. So, Anna.
Hi.
Time to play Germany or Florida.
Okay. A 60-year-old woman thought her husband was home when she heard a car pull up into her garage. Then a naked stranger walked into the house. He asked for a person she never heard of, then he came after her when she said his friend wasn't there. She picked up a pair of scissors and he fled. He didn't get far. She called the police and he was arrested in her driveway. Police identified the man as 39 years old, and they found 33 pornographic videos in his car.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
it could have happened on either.
Easily
on either.
This isn't completely Germany or Florida specific.
But that's fine. Her job is to stump us.
Random crazy always smacks of Florida to me.
It does.
And that's Florida.
Well, there's a
Floridian
telling us. But driving into a driveway in a garage and stuff sort of smacks of Florida, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, Germany does not have carports.
All right. True nose. True. So, you like a civic engineer in Germany?
What's the German word for garage?
Leitherose. Farfignugen? I don't know. That's the only German I own from a Volkswagen commercial in the 80s. Anna?
It's Florida.
Sorry. Florida, yeah. All right, baby doll. You get nothing.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, we're really like 7 for our last 7 on the Germany Florida.
Oh, I think we're better than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We may have stumbled a little bit. No?
I think we're in double digits.
Overall, we're well into the 90 percentile, yes?
Yes.
All right. Let's keep a rocking and speak to John, who has a question for Jenna. John 17. John? John?
Yeah,
all right.
There you go.
He got scared.
All right. Let's talk. Oh, really?
Montana.
All right. Mac?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yep.
What's your question tonight?
Well, hey, I just want to say I love you, Adam, Drew, and Jenna. I'd do anything to see you, but I had a quick question for you, Drew.
Yeah.
Okay, I play football. I'm a senior on the team. And before all the games, the guys like to masturbate. And they say it really helps them get pumped up for the game. And I was wondering if that, is true. Maybe I could take that up or...
Liar, whore, and you know it.
No. It's a non-question.
Yeah.
What's
Nobody
that?
Does that.
No,
you
I'm
don't
serious,
beat off so. Before the big game. Where? You mean at home and then they show up to the high school?
Yeah.
No.
No, they do.
All right. And do you notice the guys who beat off playing any better?
Well, I don't know, because they do it all the time, so I was...
That's the point. It's not any different than any other day.
Well, they said that something about it gets your testosterone going.
Well, actually, it's an interesting point.
All right,
yeah, touche.
Yeah, what about
There is a point at which testosterone will climb if a guy is masturbating regularly. If he does too much, it applies the Corolla technique, your testosterone...
Sensitive nipples. High levels of circulating estrogen.
Testosterone starts to fall off. So there's sort of an optimal zone. If they don't masturbate much, testosterone is not as stimulated to be...
Mm-hmm.
What
is that number? I must know what that number is.
For different people. It's not becoming compulsive about it, that's for sure. But it's also not trying to restrict it.
What were you saying? I was thinking about masturbation. Were you saying something? All right. Jenna, do flick Drew's nipple.
No.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
Don't get
treat
him in
her,
trouble,
treat her like
Adam.
A guest, too.
All right. What do you mean? We didn't treat her like a guest. I treat everyone with the same horrible manners and dignity. Yeah. Hey, Jenna.
That's what we love about you,
Yeah,
Adam.
We're thick as thieves. There's great love between Jenna and I. How dare
you?
You
started her career. What are you going to say?
Try to cast a shadow on what
I know.
And what we've had for many years.
I know.
Ten years
you've
I've known this little
often.
Girl.
I know.
All right. Let's keep moving and speak to Sarah, who's 25. Sarah?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Love you, Dr. Drew and Adam and Jenna. Big fan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm having a problem with obsessive sexual thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I have, and it's getting worse. It's just accelerating. I keep having thoughts of being a submissive. I've had phone sex with strangers.
In a relationship?
No. You mean, am I now?
Yeah.
Well, no. Yes and no. It's strictly sexual.
Are you... Have you been on pain medicine recently?
No.
Nothing like that? You're not trying to come off something?
No.
Why?
Because it sounds like it's accelerating. Something's accelerating. He's trying to manage something with this, and it feels a lot of control.
Well, what about any other substance? You quit anything? Cigarettes or booze or anything?
No, I really don't drink. It makes me tired. Right. I smoke weed every once in a while, but
But nothing. You're not trying to stop something. So, all right.
No,
all
right, I'm
let's
not
get
trying
back to.
To
this. All right, hold on,
Sarah. Hang on, and phone screener Brian, don't hang up on this, Sarah, because we're not done with her.
Oh.
We're trying to get to the. Easy, baby.
See what I mean?
Yeah, every time you pick up the phone, it doesn't have to be a sex talk, you know.
Lately, it does. Okay.
No bipolar history, Sarah?
I've been diagnosed for several years with depression, anxiety, and panic. Right.
Did my nipple talk arouse you?
Right, we got to talk. We'll talk.
Okay, hold on. Now we know she's got a problem. Drew, you better get a medevac unit over there. You're a helicopter to the nearest psychiatric unit. Jenna Jameson here. Take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Jenna Jameson in here for one more excruciatingly long break.
It's not long.
Segment. Yeah. It's not. Goes right by, right?
It does.
Yeah. You don't really want Jenna Jameson telling you it's not long.
Oh, come on.
If you break it down. Just if it's out of context, you know what I'm saying?
Or not long enough.
Reading the transcript, you know? Jenna is here promoting her book, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star. It is not a how-to book by any stretch of the imagination. It is a deep soul-searching process. Yes, Jenna?
Yeah, the book's made up of a lot of different things. I mean, it's my crazy life. It's also like my 10 commandments to dating. I mean, there's a lot of really funny, great parts to it. But
what are those?
You've got to read them. They're hilarious.
Go to what page is that under?
That's a good question. There's 600 pages.
Drew, find the 10 commandments of dating.
Nicole, you out there still? Nicole here?
Yeah.
She was reading them to me the other day.
Mm-hmm. You want to say Nicole is?
I definitely
Nicole's a disc jockey here at K-Rock in Los Angeles.
Thank you. All right, Drew, you can spend...
Nicole's hot, by the way.
You can spend... She is, in an Earth Mama kind of way. Drew, you want to... You can spend the next half hour looking for that.
Hey,
Drew.
What?
Drew, he with no feeling in his nipples attacks me. We're sensitive. And a nipple is... You know they say the eyes are a window to the soul?
Yeah, nipples.
Nipples, that is the trailer ball that you tow.
Think about what you're going to say.
your life
there.
Cargo with. You understand?
Yes, the trailer ball of life.
And mine is shiny and chrome, and yours a seagull craft on.
Well, there you go.
You understand?
Yeah. I'm not hauling much. Not got much in tow.
I am.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, isn't it true that men have a lot more... Nerve endings in their nipples than women?
What about it, Drew?
I don't know if that's true or not.
I've read that.
Okay. I'll
you have?
Yeah,
where did you read it, though?
I don't know, Cosmo or something.
No. All right.
Is that bad?
Just Cosmo's like, oh.
Drew doesn't like that. Sarah?
Yes.
Okay, so when we were speaking last, you're still 25.
I'm still 25, even though it was a long break.
Here they are.
Here's 10 commandments. I'm going to hold off on that. Let's just finish with Sarah, and then we'll get to it. So you're getting... Drew was saying you're maybe bipolar. Yes?
I just feel some momentum building, Sarah. And it feels sort of biological, and that's why I was asking about medicines and substances and bipolarity. Are you a trauma survivor?
Yes.
What kind of trauma did you have growing up?
I was sexually molested at... I don't know, 5 or 6. I don't remember what age.
Yeah, change your wiring a little bit. Yeah, and get you going.
And then plus you have the times of this sort of hypersexuality, and then you go dormant.
Right. That's some
when
people
I just, show up.
Yeah.
That's like the bat signal.
No. You induce the body.
Someone's
you induce
going dormant.
The,
oh, you I make kick them into
yes,
that.
Yes, you kick them into dormant.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the catalyst that forces them into their dormancy.
So do you have a relationship right now?
Just a sexual one.
No, but no real relationship.
No, I sort of quit men for about a year. Because
does that mean?
I just stopped trying to, date guys and find a relationship because I have always, always chosen the really wrong guy. Mm. I married the wrong guy, and I've dated him, and so I just thought, you know, I'm
You
got
to get a little therapy. If you were sexually abused.
I've had so much therapy.
Oh, really? Well, enough to stop acting out.
Well, how about a real relationship, Sarah? How about somebody who actually does care about you and you make yourself available for a real relationship?
I thought that's what I have been doing, but I don't know. I mean, obviously it's me because
No, here's a trick. You know, the terror of these experiences gets converted into attraction in adulthood. So you get attracted to people that are likely to sort of re-victimize you and reenact all this stuff for you. So how about going out with guys you're not so attracted to? Guys that you like, but maybe not so exciting.
Well, they
start with them.
Yeah, you can't be attracted to them on a visceral level. You have to be sort of...
What are you laughing about? You're thinking about nipples again? Or?
Yeah. No, you have to be sort of lukewarm on them. I tell you why, because it sounds crazy to tell people to stay away from the people they're really attracted to, but it's almost like somebody who has a serious problem with weight. Like, if you really want that food, it's probably not the right one for you.
Right.
You should be eating something that you're sort of... I'm not a huge fan of beets, but I'll eat them.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's going to be strudel, and that's what's really going to make the hair on your neck stand up, and you should stay away from it. And I was going to say with Sarah that she's done a lot of therapy, but that's sort of the classroom part of life, and then you have to go out and field test this stuff. So you could be in therapy your whole life and never actually try to have any meaningful relationships, and it's not really going to work. Jenna.
Well, you know what? I totally relate to you, obviously. I went through the exact same thing, and there's a lot of wisdom in what you guys are saying because I dated the wrong men consistently. It was a cycle of horrible violence and degradation, and finally I met a man that I hated and totally not my type. Did not like anything about him. And then slowly but surely, we started dating, and I was like, I love this man 100% with every ounce of who I am. And we've been together for 5 years, and he's changed my life. So I really do believe that what you're saying is true, that you can't consistently go after this guy that, you know, pretty much all my boyfriends they were this same guy.
Right,
you know?
Even when you thought they weren't when they started. Sometimes
absolutely.
You don't even think about it. The attraction is so strong, and you're so weak, you just get sucked into its tractor beam. Yes?
True.
I'm very curious, though, about the evolution from really not liking to liking. Is that because of his perseverance, or did you have a...
Well, it wasn't because of his perseverance. You know, I think I came to a point in my life where I started to realize that these guys that I were dating, were completely wrong for me. So when I met this guy and he actually had a job and he was a good person, he was well-rounded, he was emotionally stable, boom, I was like, okay, I don't like him, not my kind of guy, but I'm going to try this. And it worked out. And I'm totally in love.
I think this is why women aren't attracted to me, Drew, because I'm so good.
You are. You're too nice.
I'm too good.
Yeah.
You know, on the quality level.
Oh, I see.
They're attracted to the troublemakers.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Very. You're boring and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
What it is? They like
too
the bad boys.
Yeah. We like the funny ones. Come on.
That's the point. So somewhere you find one.
Oh, come on! But really, does that any traction at all to the Ace Man with his wicked sense of humor and his
blushing
nappy hair? Yeah. Yeah, ever since, and again, like I said, I broke her in, Drew. She was wet behind the ears before I took my...
Brought her up, please.
I took my pad sander with the velvet pad on it and my cordless Makita screw gun and put a feather duster.
Did somebody get that on video or tape or something?
I've got pictures.
Oh, really?
I do. I still have them.
Wow, for me, it's all up here. See what I'm saying?
Mental pictures.
And it gets transferred every once in a while.
I know.
Takes the elevator down to the basement.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. All right. And I'll tell you something. I was talking about it on the air the other night. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I saw you're coming in. I went to, like, the House of Fabrics the day before to buy a piece of velvet to put on my pad sander. Yeah. I haven't told Jenna this. And I walked into the House of Fabrics, and I was like, what's the smallest quantity of velvet you sell? And they're like, square yard. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I guess I'll just take that. And they were like, yeah, what are you doing with it, buddy? The chick was busting my balls, and it was funny. Yeah, it was like, I could be making a teddy bear for my retarded cousin. What do you mean?
And she's like, she could tell.
She could tell. Yeah, when guys go into the fabric store and start wanting to talk about very small quantities of velvet,
something
they're
up.
Like, all right, buddy, what are you doing? That's some sort of jack sleeve, or what's going on with that thing? What are you doing with that thing?
Oh, my God.
You're doing something with that. It's not for the AIDS quilt. I'll tell you that right now. Something weird is going on with this velvet.
Probably Jack Sleeve.
Yeah, it's the name of my band in high school. What do you do? I play bass for Jack Sleeve. All right, so we're done with Sarah, yes?
No.
Therapy. Find a guy you're not attracted to and hang on to him with both hands.
Yeah, we've all told you the same thing. And, therapy, yes, but we've all said, how about a relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just take it slow, yeah. You know, date and yeah.
And if you are bipolar, Sarah, and you're beginning to get manic, let's get that looked into.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to, by the way, control yourself. Like if you say, why do I keep doing this, or I'm spinning out, try to stop yourself.
That's hard to. You can't just say, okay, go ahead and stop.
Oh, no, it's never going to work. But what I mean is if you're aware that you have a problem and you're right thinking enough to call us up and talk about it, try to catch yourself next time you start to spin.
But when Jenna said that, I was thinking about how ridiculous things have become in our culture, where it's the Dr. Phil world. All you have to do is decide you're going to stop these things.
Yeah, you can't. It's really hard.
No, I don't think you can either, and that would be naive. But what you can do is you can sort of chip away.
Some people can act as if.
Yeah, you know and other right. No, but it's, for other people, it's an eight-year process. It's like just start chipping away.
Listen, my patients can't act as if they're not heroin addict.
Right.
You can't do that.
You can't. Just,
no, I'm not saying act as if you're not a heroin addict.
No, I'm just saying.
No, look, you're talking about being, hooked on drugs.
I know, but
drug.
Act as if you're somebody who's available for a relationship, for instance. Sarah's case.
Well, I'm just saying whatever your behavior, and this is excludes, things you get chemically addicted to, but whatever your behavior is, see if you can hover above yourself and at least see yourself doing it and see if you can reel it in.
When you start thinking about it like that,
yeah.
Then it's hard to stop.
What do you mean?
You know, like it's kind of like when you try to quit smoking.
Yeah,
or stop eating or something.
Yeah,
you just keep talking about eating.
Then you start thinking about it, and then it's in your mind. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, I want to make that phone call. I want to hear this. I want to feel this. You know, and it never works.
Right. Yeah.
I think that it's important to like better yourself outside of that. Like, do other things. Find other happiness other than sexually and in a relationship. There are many other things.
That's right. None come to mind besides eating, smoking, and screwing right now. But there's got to be other things out there. Building ships in a bottle.
Nipple play.
Did I mention the ships? Nipple play. I think that starts getting into the sexual thing, though, Drew. All right.
You keep saying
depends on how you look at
it. Yeah, the airplane the other day said it wasn't.
Well, like I said, you're wearing the nursing bra. what he'll do is he'll loosen his corset if we're going on an international flight, because it's hard. It's hard. I know it cuts into your ribs.
You promised you wouldn't bring that up.
I never said I wouldn't bring up the corset. I said I wasn't going to bring up the jock full of nuts. The gag that where I have you wear the one with the zipper and the peanuts in it. That's funny.
No, you've gone too
gosh.
Far.
That
you've
I said
too
I was,
far.
All right.
Too far.
Well, that I said I wouldn't bring up.
Yeah, you said you wouldn't bring it
right
up.
Along.
All right. Boy, is that funny. I remember I got the jock full of nuts gag gift when I was like 19. I was like, oh, are you idiots? This cost someone $28. By the way, I could use like a frozen dinner.
I didn't know there was such a thing as chocolate. is that where the snakes pop out?
Yeah, unzip the thing and peanuts come out. It's very clever. Nuts! Chock full of nuts.
Oh, my God. I thought it'd be like thing with like the snakes pop like out of the can.
I know.
That's a little more of a whoopee.
That's penis
jock.
Full of snakes.
Okay.
That's different. Trevor?
Yeah?
You sell any novelty gifts on your website? Because I'd like to design those.
I have quite a few.
No, he means like jog full of nuts.
No, I mean, no, I would
not
like,
yet.
I would like to
take that's a good idea.
My novelty gifts and mix them with adult toys. You know
so
what
like,
I mean?
What would that make? That'd
like
make...
A vibrator, a dildo buzzer. You know what I mean? Like, hey,
dildo
baby.
Taser.
Let me go.
That'll go over
like
well.
A maniac.
Yeah, women like that.
A whoopee dildo?
Yeah. You I got you, baby.
You know what? Those would probably sell really well.
That would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like the love potion, the water-soluble lube that burns like fire. Yeah.
So funny. So funny.
That'd be great. Great. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we could really get into this. There are plenty of people out there that have a sense of humor and a libido who would appreciate
the
this.
The whoopee plug.
The whoopee butt plug. Yeah, that would be awesome. Drew, nice job, buddy. That is wonderful thinking. I'm just saying, why not lighten up the mood a little in the bedroom? Drew, what happened to you, buddy?
That's what I'm wondering. What happened to me?
I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be that serious, you know?
Yeah.
They always say, be playful.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Be playful. Fart candle. Honey, I'm going to light the candle just to set the mood. You know what I'm saying? They say be playful in the bedroom. Why not some good novelty gifts in there? Trevor?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah, I have a question for Jenna. But first, I'd like to say... I love you guys. I listen to you religiously ever since I moved here.
Thank you.
Israel about 5 months ago. So
whoa, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Thought you'd find that interesting.
I do find it interesting.
What are you doing here?
Well, just wanted to try something new. I have some family here. Get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Fresno.
Fresno.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's a breeding ground for white trash, and it's the first thing I noticed. Hate this place.
How did you know what white trash is?
I don't know. They must pick.
Oh, we get American TV.
Okay. Right.
So Trevor, were you born in Israel?
No, I was actually born in Southern California, but I moved when I was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm. Because your parents were like, you could probably get shot or stabbed in SoCal, but you're not going to get blown up. Come on, sweetie, let's be realistic. We got to move to a place where you're going to get blown up. Fantastic. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. And so you moved to Israel, and what made you get out of Israel?
Well, basically, they didn't want me in the Army.
Oh, they didn't?
What, your parents didn't want you in the Army, or the Army didn't want you?
No, the Army didn't want me in the Army.
Why?
I smoke weed.
Oh, really? How can you get a lot of weed? Can you get weed in Israel?
Oh, yeah, sure. We have pretty good hash coming in every once in a while.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah, good hash.
So I don't understand. So why doesn't everyone that doesn't want to serve smoke pot?
Right.
Because they're afraid to get in trouble with the police.
Mm-hmm. And you just smoke pot and leave the country?
Oh, well, I already got in trouble with the police. So I didn't care if the Army knew or not.
Mm-hmm. I see.
What don't we know about Israel that would shock us? Or what would be the most interesting thing that people in the United States don't know about it?
Well, from what I hear a lot from people, they think that the Israelis blow themselves up, too.
No.
And that's not true.
No, nobody thinks that, do they?
Oh, I've spoken to people that actually told me that that's what they believe. That's what they
believe. Oh, well, you're in Fresno, because you're talking to guys going, you got your car bombs and you got your Jew bombs. You are Jew bomb, okay? Now, the Palestinians... They got them car bombs, but you got them Jew bombs. Is that who you're talking? You're talking to just guys who work at transmission shops in Fresno. You're not talking to anybody with an education.
Well, you're right.
Nobody we know.
But Trevor, you didn't answer Adam's question, though. Is there something about Israel that we would find interesting that we don't know?
I think so. I think you get pretty good coverage. People here, we party a lot more from what I see, though.
I think the Israelis do know how to have a good time. Huh. All right.
All right, what's up?
We have to compensate for everything that's going on.
Yeah, right. I understand. What's going on?
Well, my question for Jenna is, how does a regular person get into porn production?
Production?
Yeah.
Production?
Well, so you don't want to be in the movie?
No, I want to be the guy that makes the money off the movie.
Well, you got the Israeli thing going for you, which is a step in the right direction.
Right.
Like, you have to give you a members-only jacket, big high hanging down. Stick some hair on your chest.
Oh, not sorry. Really. I have long hair. You know,
You're 19.
And you're 19.
Wait, you're 38. You have the big gut on you and the hairy chest. So what about it? What do you have to do? You got to get a woman, right?
Well, you know, the production side is completely different than being in front of the camera. So the problem is it's a very close-knit community. Mm-hmm. If you don't know people, mm-hmm. then it's very hard to be taken seriously and be successful. So my advice would be to start working as like a camera tech, as a grip. Mm-hmm. Learn the ropes, because it's not as easy as everybody thinks.
So it's like really any other media.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same
an apprenticeship.
You know, you don't call Donald Trump and go, "Whoa, how do I be a mogul?" Yeah. It's like you just get in.
Well, same thing with television production. You get in there, hustle. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
same thing.
I do know this from being on the set of a porn and seeing guys around. If you want to do the tech or the grip stuff, you have to have cutoffs. You got to wear
a raincoat.
Creepy jean cutoffs. Like, and you have that duct tape hanging off your thing, and it's great. But that is the uniform of the porn grip is the cut-off denim jeans. I don't know. It seemed to have gone out and over every other circle's phased out the cutoffs, but not in porn. Not in porn. And has there ever been like a grip or a tech or one of these guys that's creeped you out on the set? I'm sure all of them,
There was a guy that was a lighting grip. Mm-hmm. And he would come to work in female clothing. And, to each his own. That's all good, but don't subject me to it. It was very strange, you know. And he was a very heavy set guy. And he'd bend over and he'd have these satin G-strings on. And
wow.
It was a little bit awkward.
Nursing bra?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess if you're showing up to the porn set, you figure, well, I'm just going to...
Everybody will accept me, but you know what?
Let my flag fly here. I mean, who's going to kick me off this set?
It was very strange. Yeah. And then he wanted us to start calling him Nancy, and it was weird.
It must have been a great conversation between, like, him and the director. Like, listen, Bob, we're shooting a very important triple anal scene here. we're going to need you to have a little dignity and decorum here. Could you go ahead and put some trousers on?
Like,
for Christ's sake.
Shaved at least.
So, any other weird, creepy guy? Just like just giving you that weird stink eye the whole time. Like he's enjoying this a little too much.
Oh, that's happened quite often.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, usually they're really respectful. You know, they'll take you aside afterwards and go, "Oh my God, that was amazing." Which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm lucky that. People in the industry have always treated me with respect because I've demanded it.
Right.
So.
Well, now, and again, we talked
except
about
for Nancy.
Earlier, you got in, it seemed to be, and you made it the right time, but things are definitely different. Things are open to the entrepreneurial spirit, which I don't know. I just wonder if this was 1975, if you would have got chewed up and spat out.
I don't think so.
All right.
Not if I had the right frame of mind like I do now, you know?
All right. Well, the point is you're laughing all the way to the bank.
That's
God,
right.
God bless
you. Look at the...
God bless you.
Amazing.
What are we looking at?
What's on her wrists and
yeah,
fingers.
Nice, right. Oh. Yeah, what is that? Is that real?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my. What? Oh, my. My God, how many carats is that? What is that thing?
Canary diamond?
Don't ever... If you wear that in front of my wife,
that's what all guys say. They're like, "Please don't show my wife."
You put your hands in your pockets. You keep them there. Wow,
won't fit.
What is that thing?
Bring that all up here.
It's a 13-carat canary.
Oh my God!
Is that emeralds around the watch?
No, it's just the light hitting. It's a. Oh, I gotta check. It's a Bulgari.
Wow. Wow.
This is my wedding present from my husband.
I got a cell phone. You seen it?
I gave my wife a mixer.
Yeah. Gave her now one of the powered ones or just a swizzle stick?
Power.
Wow, that is nice.
Oh, come on, you guys. You're well off.
13 carat. No, I'm literally a millionaire. Literally. Yeah. And so is Drew. Drew, you're literally a millionaire.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. All right. That is it for the Jenna Jameson reign on this show. God bless you, sweetie
Pea. Thank you.
Always a delight. Always good to see you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Will you come back anytime?
I will.
All right. The name of the book is How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, Cautionary Tale. We'll, again, going to be at Book Soup, 7 o'clock tomorrow out here in Los Angeles, West LA, right? On Sunset?
Yeah, it's on Sunset.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, y'all. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Black Eyed Peas in here tomorrow night. Jenna Jameson has left the building. Drew?
Yeah.
Doing good, buddy?
Yeah. How about you?
Feeling good?
Yeah. Did you have fun?
Had a good time.
Yeah.
Always love that Jenna Jameson. I can't believe it's been 5 years since she's been on this show.
That is weird.
All right.
You remember I remember though, when you discovered her. you kept bugging Ann to get her up here.
There's this one.
You got to get her up here.
Did I do that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go, Drew.
Yeah.
I got an eye for talent.
That's what you say.
Let's speak to Jimmy, who's 17. Jimmy?
Yeah.
What's up, Jimmy?
Not much, man. Thinking about getting a Prince Albert.
Mm-hmm. Nope. No, you're not.
Yeah, we don't buy it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bogus.
Why is just, it bogus?
It's just...
Well, now it went into deep bogusity. Before, we were just level one. Now we're like DEFCON 5 on the bogus meter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Man.
I'll tell you why.
We're good, though, huh?
I'll tell you why.
It's just that attitude.
We're good. When a question sounds like a sack of potato chips that is just puffed up with air and there's really nothing in them.
Yeah. It's like if you needed our help about a Prince Albert, we'd feel that. We'd feel like the reason you were calling, the importance of it to you, as opposed to the announcement that I'm thinking about it. Well, that's an announcement. That's not a question.
Well, it's a good point and a good way for us to blow some air up our own asses here, Drew, which is people think...
Is that with the whoopee plug or the...
whoopee butt plug. People think that we react to the content of the question.
No.
Like, oh, you must have known that one was bogus because it was so outlandish.
Yeah.
The reality is most our bogus calls are on sort of mundane questions.
Yeah, which is a smart strategy, by the way.
Yeah, it's just...
And it
just turns out oftentimes people have crazier, more complicated, real situations that are a little too advanced in the scenario department for a lot of the people that are stoned and calling the show thinking about making bogus phone calls. We react to the persons to how they feel and how they make us feel, and that felt hollow.
Yeah.
And you know what it feels like? It's a difference between looking at a plywood facade of an old Western town and actually being in an old Western town.
That's right. That's great to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks, Drew.
Well, whatever.
Jessica?
Even if I didn't feel that way, I'd have to say it.
No.
So.
Yes. Jessica?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
A friend and I were having a discussion yesterday about masturbation. The difference between males and females, and he asked me, what did I think the norm was for girls? And I was like, I don't know, because I think I do it more than most girls my age.
Hold on. Did you say asked?
Asked.
Okay, because you're white, right?
Yeah.
And you understand it's offensive to the African-American community when white people say ask, axe. You understand?
All right.
It's like they can call themselves the N-word, but we can't call them that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's the same.
Yeah,
they don't talk about it, but the same with ask and axe. Go ahead. That's all right.
And I wanted to know, statistically, what is it for teenage girls and what is it for teenage boys?
It's probably about once every day or so for boys.
Teenage.
And
for boys. And for girls, it's a much broader range. A lot. Most are in the zero category.
Yeah.
In summer and the few times a week, can't go.
I would say for teenage boys also, to put a finer point on it, it goes into this crowd of once you pass this threshold point of about 35, now it's 2 to 3 times a day. Do you see what I'm saying?
No. Threshold 35.
Number under your belt. Like, here's the thing. Let's say you start off, you're 15 or you're 14. It's once a week or something.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it becomes twice a week. At a certain point, when the total number that you've done it reaches 36, it begins to become, you get a little momentum with it.
I understand it can be that way, but I'm still thinking of an average. It's probably more than once a day, for gosh.
Yeah, average once a day, because you factor in the people that just got started.
Right, right.
When the guy becomes seasoned, look out. And I wonder, Drew, if the access to the internet, the pornography, and all that stuff has cranked up the notch, notched it up a little.
What happened to you?
Oh, look. back in our day, Drew, first off, what we would do is we would steal a stick from the elder's fire. And I would use the charcoal at the end of the stick.
To draw porn?
To draw boobies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just stare at it. On a piece of bark. And then I would stare at it. No, seriously, you would take porn and you would borrow.
Chris is trying to picture that right now. Look at him. He's like, really? Whoa, Adam with us looking at a piece of bark.
We would go to the elder's hut. Okay.
Okay.
And that's where the elder, and when,
you,
when.
You know, I was thinking, he was thinking about Jenna. That's what that was.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, I'm still. Yeah.
You lost in thought?
Yeah. You notice how you didn't seem to be here for a while?
Yeah.
He was in the room.
Yeah. Oh. The normally gregarious, chatty Chris the engineer quieted down all of a
sudden. Mesmerized.
Yeah. He's usually like a livestock auctioneer. You can't shut the kid up.
Right. Yes.
But he slipped into a deep, deep sexual coma.
He really was an altered state.
Yeah.
You got to snap him out of it.
It's sweet.
Do you have some Jenna Jameson movies, Chris?
I don't own them, though.
No, you don't. You rent?
Borrow from
internet? Where do you? No, you're living at home. Do you? Yeah. You have to
hide
the
porn? I have a
DVD
player.
You do, in your room?
No.
Oh, mom will drop dead.
No, wow. I just have a radio in my room.
Just the radio. You're missing the point.
Yeah.
Oh. Sneaking into the living room after you thought mom went to bed could be very dangerous territory.
Yeah. Oh, poor mom.
Comes out, glass of milk. Mijo! Oh, no. Oh, no. Santa Maria. Chris's mom's not even Mexican. Oh, no, wait. She is, right? What
half,
is she?
Half. Yes.
What is she, though? What's the mom? She's half?
Her mom?
No. Is she, no, who's the Mexican?
Your mom.
Yeah, my mom's half. Half Mexican.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. That's a heart attack right there. Mijo, I made you some... Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Next day, she finds a stain on the carpet. She thinks it's the Virgin Mary. Chris has to explain what happened.
It's a masculine stain.
Yes.
Male protein stain.
Yeah. So the DVD player's in the living room.
Yeah.
You got to get one in your room. You got a TV in your room?
No, I don't have a TV in my
room. No TV?
You need to lend him your little portable DVD player.
You got a computer?
Oh, I have a computer, yes.
Computers in the room. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good enough. Why no TV, though?
I just don't like it in my room. That's all.
Bad feng shui.
You don't because it costs $200? Or
no,
you don't,
no, no.
You just don't like it?
I have a good stereo and a good computer. So.
All right. You don't need the TV in there. You got enough room.
Yeah.
Okay. But what happens when you do get hold of a good DVD? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
I never reveal my secrets.
Yeah, but you got mom's work schedule down pretty good. I like the checkup phone call. Drew, you know, you've done this with your wife before.
Hell,
we do that
thing.
You do that call where it's like, hey, what's going on? You know they're at work or you know they're out on the cell phone. And it's you're thumping the melon a little bit. What's going on? Oh, you're still over at Sharon's house. When are you getting out of there? Okay, great. Well, I'll be here. You hang up. You're like, okay, I have 33 minutes. It's a 19-minute drive from Sharon's house to this house. That's if she makes every signal, and she's got to wrap it up over there. Okay, I got 33 minutes. Yeah, that's the feel-out call. Chris, you do that. You call your mom at work. How are you doing?
Right,
just want to see how okay. You'll be leaving soon?
And I got the Skinamax on TiVo, so it's all good.
Skinamax.
Oh, yeah. Got the TiVo.
Oh,
you got
yeah.
the TiVo, Chris?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. In the catbird seat, Drew.
Yeah. And he spent an evening with Jenna Jameson here, just here
yeah,
in a
really.
Stupor.
You should be paying me.
Okay.
Okay. What are we going to do, Drew?
I thought we'd take a call.
We're going to take a call?
Yeah.
Why start?
All right, let's take a break.
All right, let's take a break. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back.
Talk to somebody who's been a hold for 116 minutes, shan't we?
Oh, 117?
Yeah.
John? All right. Right after this. Hey, yo. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. We don't need your calls. We're lucky to get to the ones we have here. Right, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Engineer Chris, smitten with Jenna Jameson. Speechless. A man of few words, normally.
Look, he's really...
There's nothing left of him.
Yeah, poor Chris. He's a shell of a person.
Yeah, there's nothing left. You all right, buddy?
He's speechless, yes.
Really?
Wow.
And were you a fan of hers before this?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you.
What's going to happen to Chris tonight?
What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to little Chris? That's a real question.
That's what I'm saying.
He may pull that thing off. Have to get Dr. Alter in here to reattach it.
Nice.
Dr. Alter's phone ringing at 4 in the morning. What? What's the problem? Alter. It's Adam from Loveline. We got a problem. Yeah, remember Engineer Chris? Yeah. Pull this dork off. What? Is he at home? No, actually, it was on the way home. It was in his car. He didn't know what to do. He's by the side of the tent. He's got it sitting in milk. Thank Christ he was drinking milk. All right. Let's keep going. Drew, no reading the book while we're doing the show. You're going to read that book, though. You can bring it home. Your wife going to let you bring it home? Maybe.
Maybe.
No, you're not going to chance
it. I'm thinking more about the kids and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want
them seeing it?
Mm-hmm. It's got a little
naughty.
Heavy stuff in here.
Got some pictures?
Yeah.
It's time they learn. Time they know what Daddy really does and really thinks about. You know what I mean?
Mm.
All right. So not so much the wife, but the kids.
No, yeah, not the mom, Susan.
Don't you think you can hide stuff from the kids? They get into stuff?
Think about that.
What, me?
If you're loose in my house at age 12.
Let me explain a couple of things. Your house, I could find anything in my house because my house was the size of one of those cat litter boxes with the roof on it.
Yes.
It was marginally smaller than that. As a matter of fact, cats used to just crap in our house. They thought, well, it's got...
They had their head sticking out while they crapped in there.
I would come home from school, there'd be a cat's head sticking out the window of the house while it was making. It had that great look on it. You know, that thing, I'm taking a dump. Like, hey, that's not... Yeah. Hey, that's not a cat house. That's right. I live there.
Got it.
Yeah, so I could find porn because...
or whatever.
The house could only hold, like, two Playboys.
Yeah.
And, your place, though, you got like 6,000 square feet. I mean, you got plenty of place to hide the porn there.
Even so, I got three kids running around there. What do you think?
They come into the bedroom?
They get in everything.
They look through the closet?
They have, but I know that stage has got to come. Right?
No, yeah, here's what happens. I'll tell you what happens. It starts innocently enough, which is around Christmas. They want to find out what their gifts are.
Right.
And they reach up, and there's a box on top, and they pull, and all of a sudden an avalanche of vibrators crushes them.
That's right.
And that's when reality sets in.
Yeah.
Yes? Yes.
So, anyway.
All right. John?
Yeah?
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
You've been on hold for 124 minutes and 44 seconds.
It's got to be some kind of
record. It's been pretty long. I've actually got a buddy that's going out of town that I'm supposed to be hanging out with right now, or at least...
Oh.
You know,
sorry, brother.
We're going to
apologize your buddy for us.
We're going to do what we can for
you. Thanks for getting to my call, though. I appreciate it. You know, I've been a long time listening.
John, you're our favorite caller of all time.
Yeah.
2 hours on hold, and he's thanking us.
All right. So
by the way, is that not the difference between a hostile person and a good person?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, or a pathetic person.
No.
John.
Yeah.
So you have the urge to pee after masturbation.
Yeah. Kind of a weird question. You know, ironic, too, seeing as how Jenna was on tonight.
Yeah, and but nothing comes out after.
Right, because like you know, it's only happened to me like twice. You know, the first time I drank a lot of beer that night, and after I got home, you know, whatever, I masturbated, and you know, even after that, you know, I relieved myself, I urinated, and like even after I urinated, it still felt like I had to urinate.
Well, that urgency to pee is all a function of irritation of your urethra.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes the prostate. But the whole outflow tract can become irritated, either from masturbation or sometimes even from the semen itself coming down. And usually it passes, that kind of irritation passes in an hour or two by itself.
True.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. But it's only happened to me twice, and both times it was when I drank a lot of, pretty much.
A lot of what?
Diuretics, yeah.
You mean fluids.
I think it's coffee. Much, yeah. No, he means coffee and alcohol.
Well, beer and coffee and water, as a matter of fact, yeah.
All right, well, coffee is a diuretic. Beer is just fluid. And
alcohol's not considered a diuretic.
No.
It isn't.
No.
But yet it has some of the same effects, doesn't it?
It just makes you pee because you're drinking so much volume.
Well, now hold on a second there, Wiseacre. Hey,
by the way, the alcohol also irritates the urethra tract.
It does.
Yes, the outflow tract can be irritated by alcohol. So.
Okay, let me just get this straight.
Yeah.
Caffeine diuretic.
Yeah, slight, mild.
Mild. Diuretic is a diuretic. Is
diuretic
that what you're
means
saying?
It's stimulating your body to unload fluids above physiological levels.
Right. You wouldn't normally have to urinate,
right.
But you have to urinate.
It's not just unloading the volume you put in. Above and beyond that volume, there's more going out than going in.
Right. So caffeine will do that.
Caffeine,
like diet soda, coffee, that kind of stuff.
Slightly.
But they do talk about people drink like a lot of diet soda, get rid of a lot, but they make too much out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I thought alcohol had the same effect.
No, it's pure volume.
Just pure volume. Mm. No diuretic at all. So you're just drinking beer, you're just peeing as much as you take in.
Yes. I'm just thinking, you can get dehydrated.
Yeah, but I thought you do get dehydrated.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how the dehydration occurs.
And then what is a real diuretic? A diuretic?
Diuretic, it there's different means of, they affect the loop or the tubules in the kidneys. It changes, physiology.
It's boring, but
it stimulates the fluid to come, not be reabsorbed by the kidney, it can keep on flowing out.
So a diuretic is anything that makes you do that, put out more than you take in.
Yes.
But coffee, coffee is about, diet soda is about as good, or regular soda is about as good as we're going to do. But if they have real diuretics, get them.
Yeah.
Go get me some of that.
No,
out what, for some surgery or a test or something like that?
Well, when you have heart failure and liver failure and your body hangs unnaturally onto fluid, you want to make it unnaturally go the other way.
All right.
To try to bring it back towards normal.
Let me ask you a question about urethritis. Right?
Yeah.
What is the difference between non-specific urethritis and non-gonococcal urethritis?
Same thing.
That's what
why did this come up with the Jimmy's today?
I got this guy at work that's got, he's
NGU.
He's a red fountain. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, NGU. That's a non-gonococcal urethritis.
Where'd you get it?
Asian hooker.
Yeah, I figured.
No, I don't know. Where do you get it?
Asian hookers.
Oh, okay. Do you,
anybody can get that from any. That's why you wear condoms.
Yeah, but does it have to be a sexually transmitted disease? The non-specific urethritis?
Yeah, that's a...
You could get it from what?
Other bacteria.
Is Chris going to give it to himself tonight?
He might. If he rubs a little dookie around,
So you can... It's hard to get
it's
a partner?
It's considered a sexually transmitted disease.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be glad to hear that when I announce it at the writer's meeting tomorrow.
Quote me.
Chris?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes.
Did we finish with John from Minnesota over here?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think it's kind of odd. Sometimes I play along with it. My boyfriend likes to sometimes wait until I fall asleep to start messing around with me.
To start what?
She has a horrible line, but he wants to get it on with her while she's asleep, essentially.
Yeah. If you behave like that when you were awake, he'd do it when you were awake, too. Do you see? Adam, am I right on this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you would let him proceed without unencumbered by conversation or anything else, he'd be fine while you're awake, too.
Well, what's the question?
Well, the question is maybe is it psychologically rooted? Is it maybe about dominance or...
No.
No.
He just had a weird fetish?
No.
Well, God, listen...
You get a feel for things here, Adam?
Yeah, well, guys get a boner when they go to bed a lot of the time. She's nutty. Yeah. Yeah, why is she nutty?
Mm.
What's going on with her? Chris?
Yeah?
What do you do for a living?
I am a mortician.
Mortician.
Shocking.
Is he a mortician, too?
No, he's a bartender.
Have you called the show before?
No.
What do you do as a mortician? You prepare bodies for the grave?
I do pretty much everything. I meet families, I arrange funerals, I conduct funerals, I do embalming, and I make up all of it.
What's the, do you guys have that Neptune Society out there in San Francisco?
Yeah, we do. But
it takes business away from Chris.
Yeah.
Deal with them directly. They're usually
their
own separate entity.
You don't want to mess with the Corollas. I was just having a laugh about this. Everyone's in the Neptune Society.
Yeah.
Which is, look, here's the deal with the Corollas. They ain't going to give you money when you're alive. You think they're going to spend $1,500 on a casket when you're gone? You're lucky to get $18 when you're walking around on this planet. You're dead. If there was a service that said, look, we drag the corpse to a gator farm and toss them in. Looks like a Bond movie.
The Corolla service.
They'd be like, well, is it cheaper than the sea burial? Then we're in. They're in because...
That's realistic. What the hell?
The Corollas are atheists.
Huh.
And why should you already have enough heartache. Why should your wallet ache?
But anyway, as far as Chris is going here, I think he just likes the fact that she's quiet and holds still, and that's probably what he'd go for while she was awake, too, if she were capable of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't mean to be disparaging, but I don't think it's fetishistic. It's just,
I wonder if Chris's attraction to the embalming process and the asleep with
the
sex.
Weird, it's kinda... I don't think so. Right. It adds up to bogus is what it adds up to.
I'm reaching. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo. Well, there you go.
That's it.
That's Loveline. We were doing that best of CD. We may have saved snippets from that show for it, Drew.
What do you think, Anderson?
Oh, with Drew, maybe we're going to...
Oh, you mean the video version of it?
No, just the CD.
Oh, the CD. Yeah.
What snippets would those be?
There you go.
Some of Adam's funnier stuff.
That's right. It'll be in outer space. Everyone, listen, that's the way it's meant to be done. Well, I want to thank Jenna Jameson for coming in here tonight. And until next time, I'm Carl for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I made you some...
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.